Welcome to The Extra. I'm Shannon Brinius. It's the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And today, I'm very pleased to have on the show the CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities, Aram Benyamin. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Shannon, for inviting us.
Well, and we know that there are so many issues that we want to cover. First of all, I think, what is your message to the people who are customers of Colorado Springs Utilities in dealing with the pandemic and the differences that everybody's had to adjust to?
So thank you for the question. I'll start with the crisis, and everybody is kind of taking it day at a time, but from a utility perspective, we quickly moved into an incident command structure, to make sure that we have enough resources to respond to the situation. And our focus was three main focus areas that we wanted to make sure our reliability and service continues through this crisis. And we will provide, number one is protecting our employees that are in the front line of this crisis. Number two is protecting the public. And number three is making sure our utilities are uninterrupted and the quality level stays the same. So I think so far, so good. We have maintained all three focuses, and we are extremely, putting a lot of resources and making sure that these three objectives are met.
And when you talk about protecting your employees, you talked about that first. I think you, like a lot of business directors, and in this case, the CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities, what were you able to do in terms of allowing your employees to shift their work to some remote work? How did that work?
So, Shannon, right when we declared shift in operation perimeters, we have over 50% of our employees that could work from home. We have deployed a lot of technology that we already had in the pipeline for them to be able to stay home and actually connect, through technology, whether it's webcams, virtual meetings that we've set up, and access to the information that they would have had if they had reported to the facilities that we had before this crisis. So we are continually adjusting that, if you can work from home, then we will make technology available for you to work from home, protect yourself, protect your family, make sure you're sheltered in place and you don't have to drive to the facilities and interface with groups that you don't need to. But the frontline employees that cannot do this work from remote locations, so you have your electric.
Right, that's what I'm thinking of, the people who are actually out there working.
Yes, so you have your electric, gas, water, and wastewater resources that must continue on 24/7, just like before the crisis. So those employees have been also shifting their procedures, trying to keep the social distancing when we can. When we cannot keep that social distancing, in some instances they have to be in the trenches together and they have to help each other, get a job done. Then we have personal protective equipment and other procedures that we have deployed to make sure that when we are doing the work, that the employees are protected. So a lot of these things are being changed, as we go, and we're learning and we're implementing and we're shifting. Mm-hmm. But I think the focus is still the same: protecting the employee, protecting the public, and continuing the reliability of our services. So those three areas are still our focus, and we want to make sure that our employees are protected, our public is protected, and our services are uninterrupted.
And I know I'm someone who likes to sometimes pay my utility bill in person. That's an area where that's not being allowed right now, I'm assuming, because of all of this. What other public interfacing areas have you been able to close down, or have you closed down?
So we have closed the lobby where we had our customers come in and pay the bill. We opened up a drive-through access to customers if they want to drive through and have that distancing. We have opened up many other channels that we already had in place. So phone calls, the online payment. We still have our customer service, people working from home, they're answering the phones. We have our emergency dispatch centers are all operating fully. We have our all control rooms operating fully. But when it comes to supporting the construction industry, we haven't seen any interruptions in that area. We are providing the inspection services. We are providing the field services that the construction industry needs. We are changing the way we accept plans. If we switch to digital medium for us to accept plans, review plans, and submit electronically. So we're doing that as much as we can. But we still have some processes that customers can drop off their plans or files, and then we'll pick them up and then get back to them. So we are adjusting and we are changing our processes, but the goal is to make sure that we are not interrupting any other industry because of our change processes. So we're adopting, and I think so far we have kept up with all the demand that we have. Construction has been going on. A lot of the city projects are going on, so we still have a lot of our employees and contractors are still working in the field, and we're keeping up with that pace.
Okay, well, we are here on The Extra, so pleased to have with us the Colorado Springs Utilities CEO, Aram Benyamin, and we are talking about all the issues that are affecting the utility as well as the customers in terms of moving through this pandemic and trying to maintain some sense of normalcy. I mean, nothing is really normal. We're all in uncharted waters, but we are going to be talking about some questions that customers might have regarding drinking water, regarding power reliability, and regarding Aram's background and the unique insight that it gives him in informing the emergency procedures that are being utilized by CSU as we move forward through this. So we have much more to talk about here on The Extra. Right now, we're going to take a short break for messages, but stick around. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And the CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities is joining us now. Aram Benyamin is here with us. And Aram, you have a unique background, and I'm guessing that that has both informed and very much influenced how we are moving through this pandemic for CSU Utilities, because you used to work for the nation's largest municipal utility. That is your background for Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. And so tell me how you are staying in touch with your former colleagues there and how the processes that you are seeing play out in Los Angeles are helping to inform the responses here in Colorado Springs.
So I've spent 35 years working for LA Water and Power and in the power system. And the background that I bring from that experience that I have and the connections that I have with the utilities is unique in a way. But on a nationwide platform, we have what's called the Large Public Power Council, that we are the largest 25 large public power in the United States are connected through this agency, through this committee that we have. And the CEOs of these 25 large utilities, we're having a weekly conference calls that we share our experiences, and LA is part of that group of large public power. So, we are connected with LA. I'm connected with LA, leadership over there, New York, Austin Energy, SRP, the Phoenix spaced utility. We share a lot of the experiences that we bring to the table to make sure we're all going through this together. So knowing LA system kind of gives me some insight that I wanted to share with them, and also share some of their experiences they're having, you know, going through this. Mm-hmm. It is a large utility, large system that they have to deal with many other issues that it's a little bit different for us here in Colorado Springs. But I think we all have common goal to make sure that we go through this thing and make sure our utilities across the United States, you know, is uninterrupted. And then we go through this crisis with the reliability and as little impact on our organizations as possible. So I think the collaboration has been extremely high throughout the United States utilities, and we're learning each other's issues, and we're trying to make sure that we share our experiences and what we bring to the table. So it's been a great forum for us to have that collaboration, even get tighter during these crises.
Mm, and probably helped shape how you reacted with the incident plan as we moved that into place. Tell me about this, because this is something that I was unaware of, but I've since become aware of. Apparently some people were worried the quality of the drinking water, the safety of the drinking water might be affected by this.
So we have a lot of processes that we put in place to make sure that our drinking water is safe. So I could say very confidently that the drinking water that we have at Colorado Springs utilities and our distribution system is extremely safe and protected from these viruses and any other impurities that we see in our system. So I want to make sure that the public is extremely confident in knowing that our water system is safe, our drinking water is safe, and they could rely on that just like they did before the crisis.
And coronavirus is not transmitted through drinking water.
It's not transmitted through drinking water, and our processes are all in place to make sure that nothing else goes through this.
And with Colorado Springs utilities having, you know, roughly half the workers working remotely, how, I guess, secure should we feel about the power or the reliability of our utilities, the reliability of our power and such?
So we make plans, Shannon, about these situations where we might have interruptions. So we start with our generation facilities. So we have fuel that we secure fuel on the ground, you know, to make sure that, you know, if there's any interruption of fuel, that we have enough supply to get us over the crisis. So far, we haven't seen any interruptions in fuel. We have coal generation, gas generation, our hydro is moving as we did before the crisis. But preparation for, you know, to protect the employees, we have put in place procedures that protect our critical infrastructure employees that have to report to work 24/7 and keep the system running. So from generation to transmission to distribution, all the way to the homes and the businesses, we made sure our system is protected from generation to transmission to distribution, and make sure that our maintenance crews have access to all these facilities without being interrupted by any situation that we would face. So we've instituted a lot of tight procedures. For example, you know, access to our control rooms have been extremely restricted to make sure our facilities are protected, our employees are protected, to make sure that we have you know, processes in place for cleaning and disinfecting our facilities. We have distancing of crews, so we don't have overlap of one crew and the other physically. We have different time starts for each one of them. We have put in a lot of these procedures, and then we have implemented what we call live on site or sequestration. You know, some utilities call it sequestration. We call it living on site, which is 7 days, 24 hours a day, the employees are are not they won't leave the site that they're assigned to, and they would be we have living quarters that we have moved in, mobile living quarters that we have moved in. We have food and water and supplies that are coming into these facilities to protect the employees, and then they would be going home after 7 days, and they have strict procedures in place for them to protect themselves and their families, and they'll return back to work and after 7 days. So these are extraordinary measures, but I think we feel like we can't do enough to protect our employees and to protect our assets and make sure our supplies are secure. So we could be seen as overreacting some of these things, but we take this as a normal procedure to implement to make sure that our customers will not even notice a slight difference in the way we generate, transmit, and distribute energy to them.
Well, unprecedented times call for unprecedented measures. Certainly, Colorado Springs Utilities taking the drastic situation and making sure that service operationally is not impacted. Oh, but we know that so many of the customers are being impacted by outside forces, economic forces, loss of job, families being forced into new situations. We're going to be talking about the various customer assistance programs that are available to Colorado Springs Utilities customers. That's coming up in our next segment of The Extra. We're going to take a short break and listen to the day's headlines. But right now, we want to let our listeners know we are speaking to Aram Benyamin, who's the CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities. We'll be back with more with him on KRDO News Radio's The Extra Show after this. And welcome back to The Extra. We are joined today by Colorado Springs Utilities, Aram Benyamin, who's the CEO of the organization of the utility. And Aram, glad that you are pointing out the various measures that you are taking in light of the pandemic and the restrictions that have been put in place to ensure that when we turn on our taps, we still have water. When we flip on the lights, we still have light, so that that element of our existence is not being changed when so many other things are undergoing change. What kinds of things are you able to offer to customers to help get them through this tough time?
So that is a very important element of making sure we all go through this thing together. We're all in it together. We're going to get through this crisis together. So as a utility, we have very quickly suspended some of these procedures that we have in place. So we have suspended the disconnect process. So if the customer has not paid or they're delinquent on their payment, we will not disconnect services. We have actually went back and reconnected some of the customers that they have been disconnected before the crisis, and we made sure that nobody is going to be impacted by this crisis, that they don't have essential services. So we've implemented that very quickly. We've also implemented assistance program that will help us go through this, and we know we're going to be impacted. And again, we take this as if our customers are impacted, and we want to be there for them, and we want to figure out a way for us to make sure there's assistance, whether it's federal, state, local assistance, you know, for them to get through this crisis. We also have 211 assistance program. You know, we put in resources in our annual budget to help pay for some of these expenses that customers cannot meet. We have that available. We're putting more resources into it to help the customers. We also have, you know, other plans, naturally, you know, extended payment plans.
I understand there's a skip a payment program. That probably is of interest to some of our listeners who are facing a sudden loss of job.
Yes, we have implemented that program also. So, and again, this is about tailoring, you know, what our customers' needs are and how we can help and be there for them. So we're thinking of many other processes that we should put in place, and we will evolve as this crisis go through this. But I think our customers need to know that we, as the utility that's owned by the customers of the city, will be there for us to figure out how we can go through this crisis. So we will make sure that we are, our processes are evolving. And the bottom line is no customer is going to be left with none of the utilities that they need to get through this crisis together.
That's reassuring. You can find out, our listeners can find out more by going to csu.org or by calling 719-448-4800. We're talking with Aram Benyamin, who's the CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities. One interesting thing that I was thinking about just in terms of my own work, I'm considered, I guess, an essential worker here working for a broadcaster that's licensed by the FCC. But I know that the number of times and the thoroughness with which I'm washing my hands has increased probably by eightfold. That's what I'm guessing, maybe by tenfold. You probably are going to be seeing that increase across the board for your utilities customers, right?
Yes. Yes, we're all learning and we're all adopting to these new procedures, but you're right. I'm doing the same, Shannon.
What other, with so many people being at home, do you think electricity uses is going to be up as well?
It's a little early to predict what the curves are going to look like for us on the consumption side, but we are expecting a shift in the water and energy usage on the residential side. We are seeing some drop on the commercial side because obviously businesses are not in the same mode of operations that they were before the crisis. So restaurants and bars and gathering businesses that had people show up at their site, they no longer had that consumption in their portfolio. So we are going to be looking for adjustments in the way utilities have been used, so we're seeing already an increase on electric and water on the residential. We're seeing some blips in the usage there, and we're seeing a drop on the commercial and industrial side. Mm-hmm. But we will have enough data to kind of see this dip in the usage or increase in the usage and how the utilities are going to be, forecasting for the income that we get from the payment of the bills, and hopefully once we get through this crisis, then things will start getting back to normal. But we are expecting a shift in the usage for sure.
Mm-hmm. And that will help in your forecasting for if this is one of those recurring things that we have to deal with until a vaccine is developed, certainly will help in the planning. We're going to be talking in our next segment with Aram Benyamin about what the plans are for the future for CSU, because just a couple of months ago, it was all full bore ahead for planning for the future. And we know that the pandemic has certainly not quite thrown a wrench in things, but caused other priorities and other focuses in the meantime, in the interim. But we do know that this is an organization that is planning for the future and planning ahead. So we'll be talking more with Colorado Springs Utilities after we take a short break. You're listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We are speaking with the CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities, Aram Benyamin. Glad to have you here on the show talking about an issue that is of importance to all of us, the utilities that were provided through CSU. Now, one bit of good news for everyone who's listening out there, in addition to all the assistance programs that we've been talking about, is that an electric rate decrease has been approved by the Utilities Board. It's effective April 1st. So that could mean a savings for the typical residential customer of about $250 per month. And this follows a rate decrease of about $5 per month that went into effect in February, all of that helping to provide some relief during the COVID-19 pandemic in terms of the bills that customers will be receiving. And Aram, we know that that your planning for your organization has been forced to pivot while you're dealing with this emergency, but you are looking toward the future. What sort of organizational things are you looking to do as you plan ahead for CSU?
So thank you, Shannon, for the question, and I think it's very important for us to kind of focus on the projects that we had already planned on, and actually they're coming online, just like we've planned it. Although we're going through this crisis, we are also focused on making sure that our future plans that we have put in place sort of continue on. So I'll start with a couple of the projects that's worthy of mentioning is that we had already a solar farm that was about to be completed. It's called the Palmer Solar. It's a 60 megawatts of solar generation that we had already planned for, and it was under construction. And the timing for starting that plant was set several weeks ago to be turned on and generate electricity for our system. We kept that deadline, and we actually had the project produce energy on time, and right now it's operational. The other major initiative that we have moving forward on both water and the energy side is the integrated resource plans that we are putting together on the electrics, on the energy side. We have not stopped having the public hearings, I mean meetings and public input, and we have the fourth survey right now on our website to get input from the public. The timeline for us to figure out the recommendation of what our future energy future is going to look like, it's going to be on track, just like we've planned it before the crisis, except we're changing the method of how we are connecting with each other. So we're having a lot of online calls and open meetings with our board. We're having online town hall meetings, with the public. We're getting the same input online, on the surveys and the feedback that we're receiving from the public. It's a little bit different way of getting used to, but I think the issue is that we need to keep forward with planning the future of the city's energy vision of where we're going to be, and we need to make that decision. We are planning on having the integrated resource plan on the energy side completed with a recommendation to our board in June of this year, and that is on track. And we will decide on what the future of our generation portfolio is going to look like, what the city electric grid is going to look like from planning for demand response programs that we would put in place, from electric vehicle distribution, from microgrids that we will put in the city, modernizing the electric grid, and also changing the face of the generation portfolio that we currently have. So those are all very important decisions that our board will take up in June, and we will stay on track, and we will have a decision made, and we will have plans to execute on that plan right after our board makes a decision.
And as well, retiring the existing generation units like the Martin Drake Power Plant, right? That will be some of the issues that will be discussed.
That's Drake is part of the discussion, and beyond that, we have discussions about other power plants that we have in place to make sure that our integrated resource plan is set for the next 30 years. So we have a lot of action that we need to take in order for us to start the heavy lifting in making sure we have resources in place, we have secure, reliable, affordable energy for our city as we do this transition. So it's exciting time. It's hard to say in this crisis, that there's some really hard work that's going behind the scene. Our staff and our engineers and our planners and everybody that has It's whether they're working from home or they're in the front lines, they're actually pushing forward with all these major initiatives that we have in place to make sure we're not taking a setback on getting these things done.
Right. Don't want to fall behind in pushing forward the business of continuing to provide excellent utilities to the citizens of Colorado Springs. I've been on the phone with Aram Benyamin, who's the CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities. Again, information about everything that we discussed can be found on their website, csu.org. If you need further information by phone, they can be reached at 719-448-4800. Again, Aram, thank you so much for joining us here on The Extra.
Thank you very much, Shannon, for giving us the opportunity to have a discussion.
And we welcome your feedback on KRDO News Radio. Here you've been listening to 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM, The Extra.